Well, this morning we're going to go back into our exciting subject of crucifying the flesh. It's always a wonderful thing to do to have to deal with your flesh. But you know, there's one thing is the outcome of it is glorious. The outcome is wonderful to do it because the blessing it brings to your life and to others. And we're going to be teaching along that line again. We're going back over to scriptures we used last week into Romans, the 12th chapter, because we did the first two verses we read, but we only talked about the first verse. And we'll be dealing with the second verse, but we're going to read through because of where we were last week. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verses 1, and then we'll read 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And last week we looked at the first verse there, dealing with that, and we read it from the Amplified. And I'm going to read them from the Amplified in the bulletin. It's on the Amplified. You'll see I have it in there again this week from the Amplified. I really like the Amplified version and what it says. In verse 1, it starts and says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service of worship. And we talked about that last week in that opening, dealing with the areas of worship, and we went through a number of translations that translate it, dealing with the area and use the term of worship, your service or rational worship or things. In other words, we talked about that bringing our body under subjection to the Word of God and to our inner man on the inside of us is worship to God. So we come here this morning and we sing songs in worship, but we can worship God all the time by bringing our bodies into line, not allowing our bodies to do what they want to do, but follow the plan and purposes of God. You know, don't get over in following the lusts of the flesh. So we talked about that last week. So it's important for us to understand that. Now, understand that verse 2 here also goes along with the first verse because there's something else that we need to do. He said, don't be conformed to this world, to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. And we want to talk about this today, dealing with this area, because you will never bring your body in line if you don't change the way you think. See, it's one of the things today is the false teaching on grace. The false teaching on grace is what keeps people from bringing their body into subjection. That, you know, they come along and just tell you, you know, well, God, everything's covered. You know, once you sin, it don't matter. It's already taken care of. You don't have to repent. You don't have to do those things. In other words, you don't have to bring your body into subjection. You don't. If you sin, you're just okay. Well, you can't think like that and walk in line with the Word of God and follow the God's principle. You're not, you're like these verses here. I wonder what Paul meant by doing this. If you could, grace meant that you could just go ahead and sin, well, then you could let your body do anything. So, you know, worshiping God in your body could be to doing so, you know, like some groups, you know, they have, and even back if you go in the apostles' days, and they do it today, they have, you know, worship and things of God, you know, the sex and things has to do with worship to God, you know, because God created it, so we just go ahead and just do it whatever we want, you know. And all kinds of things. People do. You know, there's churches now that are churches that they worship God by smoking pot. That's what they do. They come and get high. That's where they come and get high. I mean, they do them things. And, you know, and man, you people, some of you look at each other like, wow, that's really strange. They've been doing that kind of stuff for years. But there's all kinds of things, you know, out here people do to the desires and the lusts of their flesh. And they called God, you know, and but it ain't God. Well, you know, it's their God, but it's a God that they make up. And so they make a God up that they follow and they do. But here we find Tim talking here, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome. He says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. In other words, there's a conformity. There, I was talking this morning about some things. There's a conformity that started back years ago that I saw going on that started to happen. The world started getting into the church more and more. In fact, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me and says, don't allow the spirits of the community to get in your church. He said, that's what's happened in our community here. The Lord showed me this. I had a vision, and I saw some different churches back years ago, and the pastors were in charge. And one of the things that I saw going on was the spirits of the community were getting in the church. And one of the spirits that operates here in this community is that the churches, lots of them, they don't really have pastors. If a guy is called to a pastor, he don't really get the pastor because the people run the church. They got a spirit where people dominate everything. Everybody wants to rule everything and run everything. People don't want to have anybody in charge. They don't want to have anybody. They want to be in charge. They want to rule and reign. And that spirit is very strong in our community. And the Lord said to me, he said, I brought people, men in here with vision to do stuff. And he said, they're not carrying out. He said, the people run the church. The people decide. And the man operates in fear because he's afraid that if he stands up and says anything, people will leave. That's what you're supposed to do. Say something so they leave. So that spirit leaves the church. That's why you do it. No. They want it in. They think it's a big thing that Jesus is just turned on about crowds. He don't care how many, God don't care how many show up. If he can't do anything, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. If he can't do his will, it doesn't matter. It's about God being able to do his will. That's what we want, don't we? So there's conformity. So we're not supposed to conform. And I began to see the conformity of the church world over time. And I began to see. I saw it in leadership of where I was connected to. I started seeing them conforming. Things started changing in society. And they started changing things of how they operated and worshiped God and did everything. You know, people became over into things, of liking it more and more. Let me just say, you can have a candlelight service if you want to, but it ain't more spiritual because you light candles. And see, people doing a different stuff and doing these things, it pleases the flesh, and the flesh likes those things. And there's nothing you can do it, but don't think you're doing anything that's going to move God. God ain't moved by candlelight. God ain't moved by bright lights. He ain't moved by strobe lights. He's not, none of that. So I saw them do that. And then I saw them start to do with things, mood lighting in the church. See, you have lighting for mood. Well, number one, if you need are watching lighting to whether or not how your worship goes, you're not worshiping God anyhow. You're worshiping by the flesh. We have to have certain things. And see, they started doing it. And I started to see that. They started conforming to what the world does. The world likes them. They want to reach the young people, so we need more of a rock and roll service. What we need to do is we need to change all these things, because now worship becomes certain beats of music, certain things. This is what it becomes. People start conforming. They conform to things and they lose out spiritually to what's going on, and they wonder why. It's like today, so much of the church world and what we call the spirit-filled church, you can go and, they don't, tongues isn't in the church anymore. They don't have, healing or things like that. They send you to the back room if you want prayer somewhere because, God out front. We're trying to conform to the world. Well, our whole idea is this is about the comfort church. We've got, especially today, we have the comfort church. Nobody can say anything that would hurt anybody's feelings. It's one thing I heard one minister say some years ago. He said one of the biggest, it was a woman minister. She said one of the biggest problems we have in the church world today is the hurting Christian. Because they're little hurt feelings. And they're nothing but causing trouble in the church. Because their little feelings get hurt all the time on things. See, that's part of the conformity to the age. That's what we got. You can't say anything that might upset somebody. You can't say somebody's wrong. They started having in ministerial groups, they started having the things they call round tables. I would get invited to them. You know what the round table was? Everybody came and gave their opinion, and everybody's opinion counts. No, it don't. I know God. Sometimes Ed's opinion don't count. And what they do is sit down and come and bring all their ideas of what church ought to be. Wouldn't it be nice if we found out from God what church ought to be and have a little bit of God church? But see, this is the conformity of the world. That's what the world started doing. Then they started the things, and they have companies now. So I know one big church that I know the pastor of. I've been friends with him for years, and they come along. You know, they don't ask the people for money anymore. They hire companies come in to tell people how much money they have to give. We're talking about a church called Spirit-Filled Church, a Rhema graduate. They come in, and they have a company come in, and they sit down. This is what the need is, and this is what you ought to be doing. Great faith man, you know. And they made him a leader over me. I said, man, this guy can't be a leader over me. He had no faith in God. Hiring companies to come in and do this crazy stuff. Well, then now they have companies that come and tell you how to have your worship service and how to do it. And they literally tell you, don't use the name of Jesus so much because people become uncomfortable with that. The church is all about Jesus. If Jesus ain't there, I don't want to be there with them. I don't want to be with them scumbags. They can call themselves Christians or anything they want. I don't want to be with them evil heathen. And them evil heathen ministers. I don't care if they graduated, and some of them did from the school I went to. Bunch of heathens. I don't want as much as eat with them. The conformity to the world. Trying to have it today, you know. Oh my God. Somebody said something. Oh my God, somebody said something about me. Somebody said something about my kids. Somebody said, get over it. My God. You're supposed to forgive, so shut up. Dear God. Now, we don't have that in the church no more. It's called complaint. Grapping, moaning, and groaning. Worried about this, worried about that. But we let the world come in and conform. So the truth can't get preached anymore. It's not allowed to be preached. We want what God has without God. God, give us what you got, but you stay home. Just send it UPS or FedEx. Put it in the box and ship it, you know, by a carrier we like. I want a preacher. I want a carrier that I like, that talks like I want him to talk, that does what I want him to do. And you bring it in the box and you bless me because that's your job. But there's a conformity. And one of the things is having conforming to this world. He says you don't conform to this world. Now that word there, world, also is the word used translated age. In other words, age. There's an age that we live in, a time period. And if we read, the Apostle Paul told it was like what it was going to be at the end of our age was, that people were going to be lovers of themselves. And all. He went on to say all the evil things that men were going to do in the end of this age that we're in. And here it is. But the terrible part about it, that evil is in the church world. The church has conformed to that evil. He said, this is what Paul said. He said, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. See, people think, well, you know, gifts of the Spirit, power. No, he's talking about the power of it. It don't change your life. That gospel, they don't believe in a gospel that changes your life. They believe a gospel that you live in sin. You can just go ahead and do what you want. It's a powerless gospel. That's the gospel of our age and time right now. It's the gospel of unchanged people. Who are still just as heathen as they was when they were supposed to have come to a place of salvation. No, that's a powerless gospel. Praise God, I ran into a power gospel. It changed me, glory to God. There's a conformity. And this conformity to this world system, it says don't do that. Don't conform to the systems of the world. Well, then what must I do? What must I do? Well, he tells us here what to do. Is not being conformed to the world. He says, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, a transformation. Now that transformation, it takes place. The Greek word there is metamorpho, which is where we get our word metamorphosis. And an easy explanation is you know, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. In other words, a metamorphosis really makes a change from one thing to another. It becomes something else. Than what it was. It's a change. It becomes a changed thing. It's not like it was before. In other words, we're not supposed to, Christians aren't supposed to think like they did when they were a sinner. There's supposed to be a supernatural transformation of thought. of how a person thinks. And we need to get a hold of that fact. Is the fact the Bible says this, that the Word of God, it talks it about, it's an incorruptible seed. See, the Word of God is not like anything else. It's not like anything else. See, most of Christianity, they don't even think the Word of God's that important anymore. It's not that, but the Bible tells us it's an incorruptible seed. You can't corrupt that seed. The word is what it is. People make up their own gospels, but it's not the gospel, the Word of God, the incorruptible. It's an incorruptible seed. And if you get that incorruptible seed in you, it'll change you. And we know this. People who are not changing, who live the same sinful, ugly lives that they did before, have not gotten a hold of the Word of God. They haven't gotten that. Because the Word of God will change you. It will cause a transformation to take place. That transformation is different. It's not just accruing knowledge of things. It's not just getting some facts and figures about stuff. That's not what it is. The Word of God is planted in the spirit of man, not in your brain. This is what we're trying to do. People are being today is the intellectual Christian. The intellectual Christian can tell you things about the Bible, but lives none of it. They tell you about things, but they can't walk in it. Like, you know, we have intellectualism, I'm knowing the spirit-filled people who talk about, you know, healing and think it's some kind of big deal about they know something about healing. But if you can't get it, who cares? It's of no value to know about it and can't get it. We got to get past it. Having just knowledge about things is not enough. And it's one of the things is the Word is for to plant in your heart. Jesus told us how the Word starts off, how it works. It is seeds or those words planted in your spirit first. You got to get it in your spirit. Most Christians are trying to get it in their mind and it ain't even in their spirit. They haven't got it on the inside of them. It's number one, there's a revelation you need to come to that'll dawn on your mind that'll change everything. You can quote what the Bible says and say you know what it says, but yet you can't get it to produce for you. Why? Because it's not a revelation to you. It's not a revelation. Every time I got a revelation from God, it changed things. Every time. Sometimes it took me a long time to get a revelation on something. I knew what something said, but I didn't have a revelation on it until a revelation came. And most of the time, revelation comes through meditation. Pondering and thinking on something and thinking on something and thinking on something and meditating on something that God said till it finally dawns on you. And finally what's on the inside dawns on your mind. What we're trying to do is just get from outside, outside, outside. Just gaining information. And we got all this mixed information. It's the conformity of the world and some things of God and it just stirred up in a pot. And we got this thing going on up here and we're trying to, we know some things of God. But it isn't working. It's not working. The transformation. And we're going to talk about this as transformation. There's a transformation that must take place. Well, he tells us transformation is by the renewing of the mind. And what's the purpose of this renewed mind? He said that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He talks about things good, acceptable, and perfect. You know, the Lord spoke to me years ago about this, and later on I heard Kenneth Hagin teach on it, but the Lord spoke to me before Kenneth Hagin did. The Lord told me this and said to me concerning this verse. I got a revelation on this verse. He said there's the good will of God, there's the accepted will of God, and the perfect will of God. He said majority of Christians, they are in the class of the good will of God. And you know what the good will of God is? You got born again. That's all it is. You might know nothing. Let me just say this. The Lord spoke to me and told me this. 80% of Christians fall into that class. They came to the good will of God and they never went any further. 80% go to the good will of God and never... They got born again. But what they do is they learn religious things and stuff and some do's and don'ts and stuff that fit their religious group and what they do. But they never grow in revelation of God and never come up to walk in a place spiritually. There's the acceptable will of God. These are a people that come to grab a hold of a little bit more. Then there's a place of the perfect will of God. And I want you to understand this about the perfect will of God. Jesus clarified it to Kenneth E. Hagin in 1987, when he appeared to him before a camp meeting in July of 1987, and he told him about the perfect will. He said this, and you've heard me say it before. It's been a thing that's always stuck into me. He said to me, the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, if you're in my perfect will, you never have to ask me to bless you, because my full blessing is on my perfect will. There's a lot that God does for you. Get into God's perfect will. There's lots of things concerning health, healing, and stuff. There's stuff that won't even come on your life hardly because walking in the perfect will of God. You aren't always trying to get something from God. It's you got something from God. This is why you want to develop and grow and come to a place where you step into that area where you've come to that place of the perfect will of God. Now, the Lord spoke to me about that, and then Kenneth Hagin later on, I heard him teach on the subject where he taught and he brought out the same things the Lord had said to me, which didn't surprise me none. If it's a revelation from God, it will. And, he didn't have a corner on the market, and neither did I. It's God's revelation. It's the same to everyone. So, in other words, it is good. It's good to be saved. God's glad people are saved. But He wants more. He wants us to go beyond that. It's a shame that many people never go to the transformation. They come to the place where they accept Christ, and that's wonderful. But there's never the transformation takes place. What they do is they always live to the conformity of the world. They just live over there in that place, and they stay in that spot. And they never get over. They're always trying to get after God to get a blessing from God. But God has something better for them. Reading that scripture from the Amplified, it says, and don't be conformed to this world or to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. Oh, the customs of Christianity. The customs. This is the way we do it. You know, so, hey, well, what's God doing? We're not really interested in that. This is the way we do it. But be transformed, be changed. By what? The entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. Why? So that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So we want to come to that place. So we come to that change. Now, I want you to understand this, as the Lord spoke to me this morning to make sure that He wanted me to talk about this. Because when we talk about revelation and we're talking about a transformation, you're thinking, it doesn't just come by information. It comes by doing. The word believed, the word heard and believe produces nothing. The word heard, believe, and performed. There's one thing about your mind and you getting yourself a mind to conform. This is why most Christians never, they'll end up conforming to the world rather than conforming to God's plans and purposes, because they gain information and they don't do it. And one of the reasons they don't is because they yield to the mind of the flesh. They yield to their fleshly mind, and it doesn't make sense. You know, you guys heard me when we're teaching on this subject, when I talked about Wanda when Alyssa had fallen and had a concussion, and I told about she was little, and the Lord spoke to me about, you know, He said, I asked the Lord what I was supposed to do, and the Lord said, well, you can do one of two things. He said, you can take her to the doctor. He said, they're going to put her in the hospital, and He said, she'll be in there a while, and He said, or you can believe me. Which do you want to do? He asked me. See, I was just growing up at the time with this. The Lord would have never asked me to stand it. I couldn't. See, most people turn around, you know, they make their decision, and after they've made all their decisions, then they go get God. After they've made all their decisions, and then they say, God, you know, I want your best, but I'm planning on the worst. But anyhow, so I just stood to believe. But one of the things that we did, and I talked to about, is Alyssa, when Wanda had called me at work. See, you have two different things that are going on here. She called me and says to me, you know, called her. I said, you have to call home, emergency phone call. So I went out, made an emergency phone call, called home. And Wanda said to me, she said, Alyssa's throwing up blood. Well, that morning, the Lord had dealt with me because I'd gotten out of faith. And He talked to me about that. And I said, I was back in faith again. So Wanda said, called. And I said, I just said to her, I said, I'll call you right back, and hung up because I wasn't going to sit and discuss it with her. Is why? Because you have two different things that are talking to you. You have the flesh that's talking to you. That your flesh wants to go in and be Mr. or Mrs. Panic. Oh, I got to quick do something. That's the first thing that's going on. And on the other side, I know on the inside of me, I'm standing in faith on the inside. Folks, this is the spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare ain't fighting devils out there somewhere. This is your spiritual warfare that most Christians lose at all the time. Because they never fight it. All they do is they give right in to the flesh and what the flesh wants to do. That's what they do. I knew this because he had a wisdom inside of me. There's a revelation that the Lord gave me about healing that he had given me some months before when I was laying. Here's, understand this, is a revelation. And here's how the revelation came to change my mind. I was laying in bed, woke up. I've only been born again a couple months, but I'd been listening to healing stuff. And I woke up and I was feeling terrible. And I'm laying there in the bed. And I never said it or anything, but I was standing there in the bed. Now, well, I did make this comment. Well, praise God, you know, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Thank you, Lord God, I'm healed. You took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And I'm laying there thinking this. And all of a sudden, this thought just went through my mind. I never said it, but it went through my mind. See, God even knows what you think, whether you realize it or not. He knows the thoughts. He knew my thought. A thought came to mind, I'm going to call off work, but I'm going to believe God for healing. I'm going to call out. And that thought went through my mind. It just went through. And a voice said to me from the inside of me, he said, if you call off work, you're going to stay in bed sick all day. Well, now, I didn't want to hear that. But God's going to give me a revelation. God's going to give me. He said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24 is true? So came right up inside him. Well, I said, yes, I do. And I quoted it to him. Well, he said, if you believe you're healed, then why don't you act like it? Oh, that changed. That's a whole different revelation. A whole different revelation. Everyone here knows that scripture, but not everyone here has that revelation. When something comes, they act like whatever's coming. That's what they act. And he said to me, he said, if you believe you're healed, why don't you get out of bed and go to work? Well, I'm going to tell you what. My body was saying, don't get out of bed and don't go to work. My body was talking to me. My body felt terrible. But what he was trying to do was this. He's trying to take me through a transformation of how I think. And that transformation can't take place without doing. Your mind will never be changed until you do the right thing. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care who you heard preach it. I don't care if it's your most favorite preacher, whatever. Till you do the word, you'll never get the transformed mind. Doing things is what transforms you. Just like here today. Every among us, there's people here who have worked on jobs, do things, know stuff. You didn't get good at your job just by being taught about your job. You got good at your job by doing your job. You learned the intricacies of your job by performing it. Your mind became conformed to how to do that job, not by listening to somebody just telling you something. It's by doing it. And you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it. Nobody becomes good or skillful at hearing about things. No one. Nobody does. You get skillful by doing things. You take information you have and you put it to work, and that'll what change it. That'll change the way you think. That'll change the way you understand. I remember starting off as just even as a Christian, and Kenneth Hagin would talk about certain things, and I would go to do it, and I realized after a period of time, I didn't have the skill that he had. There's things that I didn't know, but over time, I learned the skill of walking by faith, and I've learned the skill of things and how they actually operated. Certain things that he had said and taught, I thought I knew what he was talking about, but I found out I didn't. But later on, by turning around and acting on the word, I started to see what he was really saying. But that would have never came had I not acted on the word. Your mind cannot become transformed. It cannot. Till you start acting on the word. And I'm going to tell you what, that's painful to the flesh. Your flesh don't want to do the word. Your flesh wants to be scared. Your flesh wants to be, and I'm telling you, it's not going to work. You have to overcome in those areas. It's to do what don't make sense. We're operating in a kingdom that you can't see. If you're waiting to see it, and then you're going to turn around, well, just forget it. you know, go join the Mormons or something, you know. Go do something else. You know. We're operating in a kingdom. Faith is about an unseen realm, and you got to do things that don't make sense naturally. It didn't make sense for me to get up out of the bed. I mean, just downright feeling sick. My stomach was just, oh, man. Pain in my stomach and stuff. I'm in the bathroom. I turn around shaving and stuff, getting ready for work, not even looking in the mirror. I didn't know if I was shaving right or not. I didn't care. I'm going through the motions of this thing. I'm just thinking, and the whole time, my mind is up here. There's the battle going on. I believe what the Word of God says. Inside, the inner man believes the Word of God, but the fight is going on. There's one thing is my mind has learned now over the years. It don't battle me like it did. There's a conformity took place. That would have never taken place had I not acted on the Word of God and acted on the Word of God till I saw the Word of God perform. And you got to learn to do that. You got to conform to the Word of God, to begin to act on the Word of God and to do with the Word of God. You got to come down to the place where you come to the place. It's about you coming to know the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. Which do you want? God don't decide it. You decide it. You decide that. God don't decide none of that. We decide it. How far am I going to do to get a transformed mind? I want a mind that I can think the thoughts of God, an unseen God in an unseen realm, and I can get those things to manifest into the seen realm. That's what I want to do. I want those things to manifest. And you can't get them to manifest following the things of the seen. You can't get it. It won't happen. You can't get that transformation. It won't happen. Man, there's things I'm still working on. There's things I'm still working at. There's things that you still have. You're always growing and grabbing at things because you find the more you learn about this realm, the more you have your flesh. Your flesh don't lay down, go to sleep and say, oh, yeah, just go ahead and do what you want. Your flesh got a big mouth. And your flesh just wants to rise up against anything that makes you feel uncomfortable. And as soon as you feel your little discomfort, the flesh rules and reigns. That's how the devil loves it. That's why the devil works so hard on people's flesh. Because most people, that's what they'll follow, the flesh. If the flesh is loud, they'll follow whichever voice is the loudest, whichever makes them the most afraid. See, I realized this, to come over to the areas to walk in health and divine health and things, I had to come to the place where I wasn't afraid to die. If you're afraid of dying, you ain't going to go to the place where I'm walking. You can't go there. You have to come to that place where you're not afraid to die. The death is not the thing that gets the answer when something comes along and you have to deal with it. The death don't get a say. Where God has the say. Well, you'll make the stand of whatever God wants. God, this is where I'm going. See, over time, the Lord put me in situations and gave me choices of what to do. He would tell you, go, you do this in the natural, this is what you're going to have. Or you can go over here. Well, I'll tell you what, my flesh would get uncomfortable. My flesh would say, I don't want to go over there. I don't want to go to that. But you know, I trained myself that over the years to where I came to the place where I had a heart attack. And you know what? The first place I went to was the Spirit. That was the first place I went to. See, if you don't learn to do it in the little things, if you don't learn to do these things in the little things, the big things come, you're just going to have to go to whatever in the natural there is to do because you can't go there. You learn those things over time. The transformed mind comes because it's the mind of the Spirit, of your human spirit inside dawning on you and not your fleshly mind dawning on you. See, this is why we want to bring the flesh into submission. This is why you want to bring the flesh over where it's not dominant. See, I have no fear concerning sickness and disease and that kind of stuff. And things come. That has no fear on me. Well, what if this? What if that happens? What if you get the flu and it turns into pneumonia? What if you get this and what if you get that? Well, it ain't happening. I'm living and I'm not going to die. I don't have to be afraid. What if you don't do this right or do that right? What if it don't work? See, you want to get past that because you know why? Because you always have the people around you trying to get, they're as loud as your flesh is, trying to get you to follow their flesh. Because they're afraid. They're scared. They're afraid it ain't going to work. See, I'd learned to get over this. As number one, as I knew, one, the situation that she was in. I could not let her sit and talk to me. I'm operating in a place where I want to bring something to pass supernatural for my daughter. And I'm not knocking Wanda, but Wanda wasn't in the place. She hadn't grown spiritually at that time, wasn't at the place. She got saved after me, and she wasn't. I couldn't let that dictate what was going on. And that's why I said, I'll call you back. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, I thought you were in faith. I said, yes, I am. Called her right back, said, you'll be fine, and hung up. That's the mind you need to have. Today, what most people want is you give me a great explanation. I want you to understand this. There's loads of things I'm saying right now that some of you, you're not going to get and understand for a long time yet till you grab a hold of some other things. What we're trying to do is explain to everybody everything who ain't even in a position to understand. We're trying to give preach a gospel to people who can't even understand the littlest things in the world, and we want to preach a gospel to understand. I didn't understand the gospel. They just you need to say accept Jesus to get saved. No, we want all this explanation, and everybody has to figure everything out. That ain't the way it works. You ain't going to know nothing about it till you come to Jesus. You got to get there first. Revelation don't come. The only revelation a sinner needs is his need for salvation. Any other revelation, any other question, I never even answer them for people. I say, you don't even need to know that. It don't matter. Because if I told you the truth, you wouldn't know it anyway. You see, we live in this mental realm. We have conformed to this mental intellectual realm. And we call it Christianity. But it's an intellectual thing. It's really not kind of Christianity. It's based on intellect. It's not based on faith. It's not based on a realm that you can't see. It's all thought out of how much I understand. You know, I don't have to understand hardly a thing on lots of stuff. It's fine to learn things and how things work. But I think we could make many things work just by operating. The Bible says it's true, then do it. You don't need any revelation beyond knowing what you're supposed to be doing that you ain't doing. I know I'd prayed for a person concerning here in this church. I'd prayed, you know, Lord, cause a problem going on. And the Lord spoke to me finally one day and said, you can't help them. Well, I said, well, why not? He said, you can't help them. They know what to do and won't do it. He said, you can pray all you want. It ain't going to change nothing. They don't do what they know to do. See, they want to take a step further, but they can't. Because they know what to do and they refuse to do it. See, they can't. They want more revelation. They ain't never going to get it. Until they take a step beyond, they'll never get it. It'll never come. It'll never come. See, I'm telling you how to get a transformed mind. You can't do it without acting on the Word. When you get a revelation of what to do, that's as far as you need to know at the time what to do. You don't need a further revelation. You need to act on what you know to do. That's the way it works. I'm going to tell you, it's not comfortable to your flesh. But folks, we're operating in an unseen realm called by faith. It's not a seeing and understanding everything explained up front. That's why we have all these kids coming out of schools that are dummies today. They've been fed information, but that's all they got. Nobody knows how to do nothing. And they come out and they can't do a darn thing. Why? They haven't been taught to do a thing. They haven't been told you do anything. They go to their parents and their parents make sure they don't do anything. Trying to have an easy life. Everybody wants to go to college and work in an office. Dear God. Most of what you have in life you really enjoy, you need somebody to be able to fix it and take care of it. Dear God. We don't need 90% of these office people to begin with. There ain't nothing but a problem in our society. Dear God, you call them and they don't know nothing anyway. Dear God, you give a call for customer service and dear, what do you get customer service? You get these knuckleheads and dear God, that don't care about the customer and they couldn't give you service if they wanted to. And then half the time you need a translator to talk to them. Because, I don't know who they are, dear God. They're talking to me. I say, I'm sorry, I don't know what they're saying. You know. I mean, people go to college and you have to sit there and look at a computer screen and tell you, you know, I fix computers and I work on my stuff a lot and do a lot of different things to different stuff that I have. And you know what? I didn't learn it by looking at a computer screen. I could go look things up on the computer about stuff and get some information. But I learned how to do this, some of this stuff just by going and doing it and putting practice till I learned how to fix some things and how to do some stuff. And that's what turns around and conforms my mind of how to work and fix on that stuff. That's how you do it. You don't get it by just reading books. You know? I mean, Mike here is a mechanic. I mean, you just read books and then you just knew it all. That's. I mean, you could talk to the guy who wrote the books and he probably don't know as much about as Mike does. When I was in Vietnam, they used to send these tech reps over from these companies that designed this radio equipment stuff for us. And when they'd get there, I'd find out these guys are turning around. That, you know, the time when I was in Vietnam, back at that time, these guys are paid $150,000, $200,000 a year. That's huge money back then. And they come over there, and I made $3,600 for the year I was there. And I knew 10 times more about their equipment than they did. Why? Because I worked on it. You can read all the books you want. It ain't till you get doing it. It ain't till you get your hands on. And you ain't getting your hands on the faith stuff because it requires hands on and faith stuff. Hands on ain't just talking stuff. It is in the middle of pressure. You're doing what's right. You know, I talked about our military training. The military training I had, what they do, they would take us out and take us through all the stuff on, you know, they would take us out and show us all these different things that you had to do and how when your squad, moving your squad forward, when you're under fire and all these things that you have to do and how you do all these different things. They would explain them to you. But what they would do is they explain to you, but you would spend 10 times more time out doing it than you did in classroom reading about it. They took you out there and shot over your head and blew things up around you and make you crawl around and run through things and crawl through barbed wires and do all kinds of stuff that made you completely uncomfortable that your flesh is yelling at you all the time, which mamas today don't want their little kids to go do anything like that. My God, they might get hurt a skin knee. Dear Lord, their pants would get dirty. Dear God. Yeah, that's right. My God. I was never so glad to take off my helmet half the time. You know, I just, dear God. All this whining and bathing, their teeth are brazing people. Nobody can deal with their flesh. Anything that makes flesh unhappy. And why? To go to different levels, you're going to have to suppress your flesh. Or you'll never go. You'll never go. And the only way you can learn to do that is by acting and going against. I had to learn the things to rebel against my flesh. I'll tell you what, I went through some things sometimes that were hugely difficult because, you know, lots of times miracles and stuff ain't instant, if you haven't noticed. And I stood through things already that seemed like, my God, if something don't come out of this good, we could have a death on our hands. But I remember saying this many times as a young Christian, either the Bible's true or it's not, and I'm going to find out whether it is or not. That's why the Lord spoke to me some years ago and said, the reason you've seen so many miraculous things take place is because, he said, you really do extreme things. Those extreme things I did was against what the flesh and everything everybody else said, don't do. I've had ministers tell me, well, you got to use wisdom. And those same ministers that told me that, they never saw miracles in their life. They never saw nothing. They were always using wisdom. They were down there with their nice mood light worshiping God. Had their candle going. That's his worship, man. I'll tell you what. God's impressed. Christianity is under fire. That's where you're going to learn to live it. You don't learn to live it in the church pew. Christianity ain't in the church pew. Faith ain't in the church pew. Faith is when you're out there when the bombs are going off, when the devil's throwing everything at you and it's going on. It's what you're doing out there in the war. It's not what you're doing here sitting around us, sitting around here together. There's a war. And most people are losing it. Most Christians are losing the war. See, my mama used to make me keep my flesh under. She'd slap my head off to keep my flesh under. But you know what? My mama loved me. God chastens those he loves. That's why I'm talking the way I am. You need chastened. You need chastened. You need to get your flesh under. I need to get my flesh under. We need chastened. We have let too much of what the world has get in us, and we need to get it out of us so God can be miraculous. Amen. So God can do miracles, signs, wonders, demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Not something, you know, I don't want God working through me that startles me. I should be expecting God to do wonderful things. Most of the church world wants signs and wonders for one reason only, so they can see something, because they can't believe for any of it. I don't want to see signs and wonders. I can believe God for it. I can believe God. I have done it. I've seen the miracles. I see my daughter Alyssa get a broken ankle, and I grabbed her up off the floor and screamed, in the name of Jesus, devil, you get your hands off my daughter. And I stood her up on her feet and said, walk in the name of Jesus. And she walked off completely healed. Woo, now that don't seem, boy. See, I didn't ask Wanda if it was okay I did that. I didn't ask the doctor if it was all right. I didn't go check to see. I did crazy things. People say, what's wrong with that wild man? He got conformed. Why? Because he saw miracles take place before that. He saw what happens when you get over in that place. We tolerate so much because we live in a society. It's so easy. You can run right to the hospital. I mean, you can just go get, you can just do it. And we just do it because it's easy. It's easy to do. Go to when I feel safe about it, then we're going to believe God. Now that my flesh feels comfortable about this, let's get into the believing stuff. That's why many Christians never get healed of cancer and things, because till they get themselves over where they feel comfortable and the doctor has it, they don't have very little faith to believe God to overcome the stuff that they're dealing with. See, you want to become a soldier before you go to battle. You don't become a soldier in battle. They trained us and then sent us into battle. They didn't send us into battle to train us. See, we got a lot of the wrong stuff today, and that's why the transformation doesn't. There needs to be a transformation. This writing here, it says, you know, the transformation, he says, the renewal of the mind, he says, by its new ideals and its new attitudes. Oh, we need an attitude shift. Now, we think about an attitude, but our whole attitude and our thought of how things work and how things operate have been conformed to this world. Instead of the Word of God. See, the Word of God says this. The Word of God says, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Is that number one on the list when sickness comes knocking on your door or something happens? Is that number one on the list? Or is it, well, I don't know, take this, do that, and then we'll pray. That only says one thing. You need an attitude change. The first things that should come on your mind is God. First thing, I'll tell you what, the first thing that comes on my mind is God. What's the first thing that comes on my mind? It's the first thing. I had that change years ago. And my flesh used to yell at me. It's like I had a minister one time tell me, well, you know, if I get a headache, I take aspirin or whatever he's taking. He said, it's just easier than standing in faith. And I just looked at him and I said, I was a younger Christian. I said, I hope you never get cancer because we're going to be burying you. I learned when having headaches, I learned how to believe God without taking an aspirin. See, it's just so easy to take it. I'm just telling you. I'm talking about renewal. If you can't stand it, well, oh man, I don't like a headache. Neither do I. I'm just going to tell you this, people. I don't like pain. I don't like it. I hate pain. I hate having pain. I don't like it. I don't want to ever get accustomed to it. I never want to get, I don't like, when I know people go through terrible pain and suffering, that really bothers me. My heart goes out to people who are severe pain all the time. When I used to get a headache, I remember I started saying, I'm believing God to be healed of a headache. I just, praise God, I'm healed. I believe I receive my healing. Well, I'll tell you, when I first started that off, that really worked great. My mind definitely wasn't renewed or conformed to it. I'm working at this thing. This is the thing. But I'm going to tell you what, I can't even tell you when the last time I had a headache. It's probably over 30 years ago. If I have any sign like one wants to come, I say, oh, we ain't had them all these years. We ain't coming back to this one. Go jump. That's not staying here. That's it. But I'm going to tell you, it took me a time to conform to my thinking to do that. This is why things don't work. People always only want to use their faith when the big things come, and it will not work. You take the little things. The little things. And you start on those little things. I started on the thing of flu. And I got it. I'll tell you what. I take my flu shot constantly all the time. Every time I pray. Every time I pray over my food, which three times a day I pray. And I thank God He takes sickness away from me. That's my flu shot. Every day, three times a day, I take my flu shot. And I believe it's true. Sickness is taken away from me. I never expect to get the flu. I have no expectation that it's going to ever happen to me. I didn't start there. I start there when my body was concerned about the flu. Concerning about how it felt. Concerned about those things in my body. But see, I needed a transformation in the way I thought. And I started acting when those symptoms would come on me. I remember the last time I had the flu, I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And it was probably about 1983, somewhere around there, 1982 or 83, around in that area. And I remember flu season was really bad that year, really bad. People, we couldn't run sometimes our lines we wanted to run because so many people were off work sick. And there I was, I had flu symptoms, and I'm working in the Kit Kat kitchen up on an oven. Those ovens ran 500 degrees. We're baking wafers, and you stand up there in front of one of those ovens. Oh, it's all you need is feeling bad with the flu. And other people are leaving, going home from work, and I'm standing up there. I ain't going home from work sick. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I stood up there, and I didn't feel at all like I was healed in anybody's name. I felt like I was sick in Ed's name, man. I'll tell you, I was up there, my stomach's queasy, and sweat just pouring off of me. And I'm standing up in front of it, but I refused. I just said, I ain't going to do it. And that went on for 2 hours, about 2 hours period of time, and all of a sudden, just like somebody threw a switch, every symptom left my body. I just kept saying, I ain't moving. See, my body's yelling at me the whole time. Well, now you need to be careful doing that. You could die. No, I couldn't. You could, but I can't. We have different beliefs. You need to get that. You need to get that. And that's the last time I had the flu. I got me a revelation that day. It got on me. This thing works. Every time something came, this thing works. I can take this unseen thing. In the middle of acting, what I do is I'm not going to submit to that sickness. I'm not going to submit to it. I'm not going to let it overtake me. I'm not going to do it. You heard me tell the story, you know, about when I pulled the ligament in my foot. And I'm not going to do it. See, Wanda said, you know, I'll pack for you. I said, no, you're not. I'm in pain. But I'll tell you what, I'm walking. I'm in pain, but I'm walking. I'm acting like I'm healed. Am I healed? No, at the time, it don't look like I'm healed at all. There's nothing. Ask my body what it thinks about healing. It would have told you what it thought about healing. You need to go sit down and do something. You ought to take a pain pill. Something's wrong with you. Your crazy mind. What are you thinking? This voice is over here talking to me. But on the inside, I had a mind that saw this work every time and work and work and work. And I said, no. I said, I'm healed. I'm going on a mission trip. I didn't even let a thought enter my mind that I wasn't going on that mission trip. You can't go like that. How are you going to go on a mission trip? How are you going to do? The doctor said, you got to keep your foot propped up. I said, yeah, I'm going on a mission trip. Well, it's okay if you keep your foot propped up. I didn't say, well, the doctor said. I said, no, Ed is healed in the name of Jesus. That's what he is. Ed's healed. Glory to God, Ed's healed. It took me a little time. It took some hours from the time that that happened from one afternoon till the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning when I passed through security at the airport and got instantaneously healed. And in between that time, Ed's body was yelling at him a lot because he's walking on this foot. And I'll tell you what, it hurt. Oh my God, it hurt. I had an ingrown toenail that got infected one time, and I tell you, so much pain. And I started to turn around, and I sat down. I said it was healed, and I thought, well, healed, I'm going to cut that thing out. Well, I'll tell you what, I had a lot of tears in my eyes cutting that baby out of there. I'll tell you what, that was painful. Well, I got the next work to go to work, and I'll tell you, put a shoe on to go to work, and I'll tell you what, my foot was just cheerful. It was just all excited about this, going to work. But I praise God, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'll never forget, I drove to work, and I stepped out of my car, opened the door to my car, stepped out, it was my left foot, put my left foot out of the car, and I go, about take your breath away. Oh my God, it hurt. And I stand there and I said, I'm like, oh, you know, you couldn't even step to your toes, the front. I'm walking with my heel, doing this. And finally, inside, the man inside got mad. The guy inside said, that's enough of this. And I just said, that's it. I am not limping around here all day. I'm a walking. I said, I'm healed, and that's it. And I started stepping on that foot right to the toe, just walking regular across the parking lot. And I'll tell you what, I was biting my lip. Well, I'll tell you, I was hurting. Until I got to the door of the building, every pain left and never bothered me ever again. That's how I got my mind conformed. This thing works. It's a battle. And it's a battle between your flesh and your spirit. And as long as the flesh dominates, you'll never go to the miracle stuff. The miracle stuff is by stepping over in this area. You don't do what I did. I did what I did because of what I had on the inside of me. You got to get the word inside of you. You got to get it in you and get it in you. You know, concerning healing. There's some of you here that are dealing with certain kinds of health problems. And you hardly spend any time meditating on the word of God concerning healing, getting it inside your spirit. But you'll take every medication exactly the doctor tells you to at exactly the right time. You'll just do it and do it and do it and do it. And you're going to be doing that 10 years from now too. You ain't getting healed. I just want to let you know. I ain't being mean. I'm just telling you, you ain't getting healed. You might have to take medication for a while, but sit down and take the word of God every day and meditate on the scriptures. Every day you sit down confessing and saying healing scriptures over and over till that stuff gets inside of you, till you finally rise up and tell your flesh to shut up and get better, and that's it. And it ain't going to change till you do it. I'm just telling you. It ain't changing till you do it. Any little old prayer laying hands on you, I'm going to tell you what, the Apostle Paul can't get you healed. So forget it. It ain't going to work. You need to get into the Word of God every day and get into it till you come to it and meditate on it. Healing became strong in me 3 years. Majority of what I ever studied for 3 years. I wasn't a preacher. I'd be home, come home from work, get my Bible. I would go over, listen to things on healing, meditate on the scriptures on healing till I got a hold of this thing. What do you want? See, health is important to me. The Lord told me. He told me this concerning prosperity. He said, the devil makes my people sick and he keeps them poor. He takes their money from them. Just think if you never had to spend any money to the doctor. You know, we went living. I took my wife and kids with no insurance and we moved for 2 years to Oklahoma. We had no medical insurance and never needed a doctor either. Man, 99.9% of Christians wouldn't go 10 feet without their insurance. Woo! Who turned this crazy man loose? I don't know. But I'm just telling you, there's things that we did. We went and stood. We stood because you know what? I wasn't taking my money and throwing it away and just doing it on that stuff. We needed to live. You set yourself on things. I ain't against having health insurance. But I'll tell you what, we got a lot of faithless in Christianity here in America. The rest of the world's living. You wonder why God does miracles in other countries? It's because America's full of themselves, full of their own flesh and talking about God, but they ain't got the doctors. They ain't got the medical insurance. They don't have a plan B. Most Christians' plan B is their plan A. God, who should be plan A, is somewhere around D or F. See, we got to get past this stuff. We're dealing about with our flesh, and we're living here in a nation, folks, and the rest of the world out here, they haven't got a clue what we're doing, what we have, what we're doing here. They don't know that most Christians, you go to other countries, those Christians there don't know that most Christians in America couldn't do 10% with their faith what they're doing. So one thing is I found, I went to other countries, it'll make you ashamed. That's why y'all ought to go, make you ashamed. That you'd sit down and say, my God, what have I been doing? What have I been complaining about? Where have I been using my faith? They don't have half we got and they ain't upset and squirrely like we are. What we think's a hard time. So I say, oh dear God, forgive me for being so stupid, dear Lord. I say, God, you've been kind, you didn't hit me with a bolt of lightning. I should have been. For talking so dumb and acting so dumb, thinking I was going through trouble when I didn't even know what trouble was. Hallelujah. We live in a fantasy world. We go on vacations to other countries, and what we do is we look for a place to go stay that is just like the United States. And say, I've been to this country. You ain't never been there. You ain't never been to that country. You know. Oh, yeah. We go stay in our nice resort. Talking about going to another. You never went to another country. You don't even know what it's like. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, there needs to be a stirring up that needs to take place concerning our flesh. Our flesh has gotten away with too much. We've let our flesh get away with too much. There's nothing the matter with having nice things. We use the term, say, you know, it's having things, but things having us. Even most people that say that, this, their stuff has them. We get where we can't do without. We can't believe beyond what we got. And that becomes a limitation. It's one thing the Lord spoke to me when I first started the church, whenever they first decided they were going to pay me back years ago. We first started the church. I wasn't paid by the church. You know, we're just starting off. And we went, and the Lord said to me, he said, never allow the church to pay you enough that you're satisfied. He said, always desire to have more than what they can give you. That means this, and I know what he's talking about. Then I got to use my faith. Then I got to start believing out beyond. You can ask the board, I turn down raises, don't I? I appreciate the board of the church. The church has been very good to me, and I just appreciate it very much. But I know sometimes I need to keep myself out there where my faith, I don't need to have a comfortable barrier. See, it, you know, some people say, I have a fixed income. Well, you fixed it. Don't blame anybody else. Your blab mouth did it, so get over it. When I've learned this kind of stuff, I've never had a fixed income. I don't care what somebody paid me at a place that I work. That's not my income. That's what they give me for what I'm doing. My income, I decide. I decide my income. They don't. My giving determines my income. See, the flesh don't like us because, see, the flesh wants, give me a big salary I can just be happy with, and see, I can build the big barn, and I can just store it up, and I can go sit down and rest and relax, and I'll have a nice retirement where I don't do nothing. And the devil come and kill me early. Isn't this exciting? And I can be sick and take 12 medications till Jesus comes. I ain't doing it. I ain't going there. I ain't doing it. See, I know this. I can't lay my faith down because I know my enemy. And I know my stupid flesh. You lay your faith down and your flesh will eat your lunch. Your own flesh will eat your lunch. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, Christians have more trouble with their flesh than they do the devil. We just think it's still the devil. No, our flesh is this unregenerated thing that doesn't like to deal with anything, that likes to find total comfort. But yet the comfort it really wants, it fights to get. It'll fight to get away from it. You need a miracle in your body, and your flesh will turn around and fight you from trying to get the miracle you want to give it. I mean, think about it. It'll fight you. What kind of nutty thing is this? And we pamper it and pet it. We ought to take it outside and shoot it. You stupid thing. What's wrong with you? Why do I have to live in this ignorant thing? My God. You know, dear Lord, dealing with it. Because one thing about it, when you deal with it, you know, and I've learned over time, the Lord has dealt with me concerning hot and cold, whether hot and cold outside, where, you know, people have trouble, hot and cold, and God started dealing with me about learning to get my body over, to acclimate to things, or learn to talk and say the right things about my body. Because I was dealing with that kind of thing going on. And the Lord dealt with me on it about dealing with it. It's like with me, it gets warm and it gets cold. You know, I'm not a complainer about either. It's just, you know, but you learn to acclimate, because I learned to deal with my body on the things and learning to deal with it. People don't. They say, well, this is just the way that I am. In other words, this is what my body is going to rule and reign in this area, and this is what's going to dominate, and it's going to do this, and that's just the way that it is. But say, you just don't understand. I have this problem or that problem that causes it. That's right, and you're going to keep that problem because you just said. See, our body doesn't like to be uncomfortable. And just like this, God dealt with me about... I used to go through the things that, like in wintertime, I would go outside, and even today, I don't ever wear a heavy coat. I don't like heavy coats. I'm not into the heavy coat business. And, you know, I can go outside, and in fact, if I put on a real heavy coat, and I'm outside, after a while, I'm sweating underneath, and I'm trying to get this thing off. So, but I started dealing with things. What happened one winter, I turned around, and it started getting, and I started finding myself being cold. I said, what on earth is going on? So I talked to the Lord about it. See, you know, my body's having a problem. Well, I know it's because Ed's not knowing something he needs to know. I don't say, well, this is just the way. Well, you're getting older, Ed. When you get older, Florida calls. And you have to move to Florida so you can be warm again. This is good. I'm meddling good, ain't I? Yeah. Because I got to get away from the cold. I stopped and said, no, I'm not going down there with some of the people I know down there. I just, no, I'll move to Alaska first. But anyhow, I said to the Lord about it, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, do you see what you did this year? I said, no, what'd I do? He said, the weather just started getting a little chilly, and he said, normally you wouldn't even put on a long sleeve shirt. And he said, you started wearing a sweater and started doing this. He said, you started doing it. He said, you never let your body acclimate to the temperature around you. See, your body can acclimate to things. God didn't make your body that stupid that it can't do things. We'd all be dead if it was as tender as we treat it, and science lies to us and says it is, and we brought every bit of it. He said, you never did that before. He said, you did that this year. And said, now you get yourself over and you're cold. He said, you did this. See, there's natural things you can do. So I just did the thing of, well, I put that to sleep. So I started getting myself where I, next winter started coming on and that stuff, I didn't go do that. Didn't have a problem. Didn't have a problem again. I was letting my body... So your body can do a lot. If we don't have wisdom on stuff. We're conformed to the world. We're conformed to doctors. And the doctors don't even know. They can't get their bodies to work for them, and they're trying to tell us how to get to work for us. They don't even know how it works. I was reading an article. There's a guy up in Alaska, 32 below zero. He's out in shorts and a t-shirt running every day. And they can't figure out how he does. But his body, his flesh temperature and stuff, stays warm. They can't figure it out.
So what they do? Ignore it. Oh, I don't want to know it. Boy, because it's different than what we believe. So let's ignore this thing. Back in the 30s, over in France, they found a little boy in the mountains. They estimated he was probably somewhere between 5-6 years old, somewhere in that area. This is an actual true story. They don't know where he come from. He couldn't talk. From what they understand, what they finally did is after training, that he was living with wolves in the mountains in France, in the Alps. He was discovered by some people out running around up on the side of the mountain with about 2 feet of snow on the ground. He's completely naked. No shoes, running around up there. They checked him and found out he was completely warm. His body had acclimated. His body acclimated. See, as I learned concerning the summertime, I don't just jump Mr. Air Conditioner right away. I don't do that. Get my body to start to acclimate to temperature. So it can get warmer out. Don't bother me. See, people right away assume the body has a little discomfort. We got to keep the body within that there, 68 to 72, so it's happy. We got to keep it there, so we all don't let your body dictate it. See, this might seem weird to you, that just because we have things don't mean we're supposed to use all the stuff we have at all the time, and we do. Because what happens is when you get into a situation where you don't have the 68 to 72, you can't operate in faith because your bodies dominate and rule you and you're just complaining about the heat and cold, and the whole time you need to stand in faith with something, but you can't because your body is so loud and it's screaming and yelling because you've taught it not to, it's got to have within its range of things or it can't be satisfied and your faith can't work. I mean, Jesus is 40-day fast and his faith was still working. We can't miss lunch and our faith still works. Boy, is he meddling today. This guy is just... But see, this comes down, I'm talking about acting on the word. Not just hearing information. See, there has to be a reasoning that you take on and a thought and a way of thinking that becomes completely different than how you have been thinking. You got to come to that. You aren't going to sit down and read it in a science book of how it works. You're not going to do that. I'd ask God questions about what I need to do. I need to know what I need to do. How do I conform? How do I do things? When I get a revelation, I start to act on it. I start to act on it. Of what I know to do to act on it. Now, usually when I first get a revelation of something, my actions aren't maybe as completely, as pure as they need to be because I'm only just beginning at the thing. But as I start to act on it, I'll find out. I'll eventually come to the place where I know exactly what I need to be doing and how I need to act this thing out to do it. Why? So it becomes a transformation to me in my thinking. So that information I got, and I know how to apply the actions of that information and bring that thing to pass and make it work. That's what you want to do. There's no other way to do it. We do that in the natural. Anybody that learns any skills in anything, if you want to be an artist and know how to paint, I mean, you can become an abstract artist and just throw paint. You don't need to go to school to learn a thing. And people may pay $1 million for it because there's a lot of insane, crazy people out here. And it don't matter. But somebody that could actually paint something that you could recognize, they probably have to have some skill. And that's why the guys that just throw the paint don't do that, because it takes skill. It will take training and practice. And you know what? You'll sit down, and even though you can learn and watch all that they do, and you get that in your mind, you try to do it. A whole nother story. A whole nother story when you try it. Why? You need skill, which comes from doing. So it takes it and transforms the way you think about things. How you do it. Controlling your body to do what it's supposed to do. That's fun. I mean, you're going to need a big stick. That's what you're going to need, a big stick. Paul talked about being a boxer and how he boxes his body. In other words, he got to knock this thing out every once in a while. Or this thing wants to do things. I don't know. I know about mine. That's the way it is. It gets into things and it needs knocked out. And it always is not fun or comfortable for it to do that. It's not. But the outcome, oh, the outcome. When you get to the place that your body's not yelling at you, get to that place where the body's not yelling, where faith is dominating and ruling your confidence, you have that peace that passes all understanding. You can't have your body screaming and you have peace that passes all understanding. You can get peace to things and the body's saying there, you know, if this keeps up, we're going to die. But that peace inside of you is so great, you'll say, oh, just shut up. Because there's a knowing inside of you, because you've practiced, you've done the words, you know God's going to do what he said he'd do. You're sold out on the thing. We've been here on this path. We've walked in this thing. This is where I live. This is what we do. And you just go ahead and do it. That's what they did in the military. They taught us to get all the fear out of us. They made you miserable. After a while, you found out your body gave up. And in a sense, it did. It got tired of fighting it because your body all the time was fighting everything they did. It was uncomfortable at everything they made you do. You know, they didn't turn around and say, you know, if it's cool enough outside, we'll march today. No, they'd say, it's going to be real hot tomorrow, so we're marching. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make you as uncomfortable as we can. That's right. And since it's going to be so hot, you're all going to carry 20 pounds more. That's what we're going to do today. Hey, this is exciting. And everybody was, oh boy, we get to go. But you know, the day comes when you're at war. And you do what you got to do and you ain't complaining, you ain't griping, it's crying. No? You know how to stay alive. Can't write a home to mama and tell her to do something to the congressman, get me out of here. You're here in the middle of it. And this is where you're at. And you know what? And there's people who were good enough not to listen to you who taught you how to stay alive and told you to shut up and sit down and listen and made you do things. And now that's your job today. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to be your own drill sergeant. If you're not, nobody else can be. No matter what I say here today, don't mean anybody's going to do any of it. You determine whether you're going to do any of it. I don't determine that. I can't make you do a thing. You determine what you're going to do with your body, not me. Any, I'm too busy fighting mine. You know, you'll have to pay me to fight yours. I'm fighting mine. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We're taking communion this morning. Now, I want you to think about it. Now, understand what communion, you know, lots of times we take things, you know, just as well, these elements and that stuff, but it's what the elements represent. The elements in themselves are nothing. It's what they represent. It's what it represents to you and me. It's like water baptism. Water baptism don't save or do anything, you know. It might be nice in the middle of the summer to get water baptized. You feel cooled down in your body, but it doesn't do a physical thing to you. It's a representation of what's happened to you on the inside. You were baptized into Christ. In other words, you've been born again, a child of God. That's what it represents. It's meaning of what it represents. Now, it's interesting because Jesus Christ himself gave these elements as a representation of you're identified with his body and with his blood. You're identified. Now, that's important, is what you identify. See, what you identify yourself with. What are you identified with? Most of the church looks at when the communion is about death. It's not about life. It's about death. You're identified with his death. It's as if you died. It's as if you've been raised again. You're identified in his blood as if your blood was shed. See, God identifies us in Christ Jesus as if we died for our sins and we were raised from the dead. God looks as if we were in Christ. So if I was in him, then when that happened, when that took place, then it's as if I did the same thing as he did. I died, I was raised. See, that's the identification we get with this. But I like what Paul was reading yesterday. Paul said, you know, he said, I don't know Christ in the flesh anymore. See, most people, Christ to them is the Gospels and that's Jesus. And they still, they're tied to the man. And they're not tied to the glory of seated in heavenly places. And if you don't, this is one thing. You really don't will never see yourself in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our communion is identify us with him. You're in heavenly places. You're seated in heavenly places. Now, you know what? Your body ain't seated there. Your body is not there. Have you noticed? We're here in this thing, right here, right now. But authority-wise, you stand in the same authority that the one, Jesus Christ, who is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the throne of God. That is your place of dominion and authority. That's your place. That's yours. Think about this. The scripture says this. Know no man after the flesh. Well, are you a man or woman? Most of you only know you by the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. You can't walk in spiritual things and you only know you from the flesh. That's why if the flesh dominates, if the flesh rules, you can't fulfill what the Bible says. Why? You got to know what you are spiritually. Your success is not based on what you are physically. That's not your success. Big, small, more round than others, or whatever. That means nothing. Amen. You can't change any of that. Do you know you on the inside? Do you know what you are? Do you know how far your faith can reach? Do you know that? See, if you don't, you're limited. See, those things weren't put in Scripture down there just to have something nice to say. Those are meaningful things. See, I'm supposed to know Jesus, the one that's sitting at the right-hand Father right now, who's all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth, who's just downright God. See, when we sing in these songs, you know, he's my portion, you know, what portion do you get? I got God portion. That's what I got. My strong tower is God. He's not the man that walked in the physical body in the earth. He did that to redeem us, to take us, to sit us where he is. So you're seated where he's at today. You're seated where he's at today. This is why when it says he took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, you won't put up with it no more. You stop saying, hey, hold it. What am I putting up with here? See, well, flesh, you get to rule. No, you don't. Flesh, you don't get to rule. The inner man's ruler. You're going to reign and rule in Christ by your spirit. You don't reign by your flesh. You don't reign by new cars and new houses and lands. You ain't going to reign and rule. The devil eats your lunch in it. See, I can dress my flesh up, but it's an ugly thing. We can dress on the inside. I'm a giant. On the inside, man, I'm a warrior. On the inside, the fight's on, and I like the fight. I love the fight. I love the fight. I love it. Bring it on. Devil, bring it on. We're in the fight. Why? Because I was designed by Jesus Christ to win this fight. I'm a fighter, and I've been trained, and God's given me the knockout punch. Hallelujah. And it'll work every time. It'll work every time. And he's giving you the same knockout punch. But the devil's talked some of you out of it. Hallelujah. He's made you to think of some kind of inferiority. But this is who I came from. I came from Jesus Christ. I'm born of God. That's who I am. My father's name was Clyde Gibson. But I'll tell you what, I changed heritage when I got born again.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm known in heaven as a son of God. Hallelujah. We're so tied to this world and to the flesh and to the things. It's so meaningful of our heritage and our customs and our trash. That's what it is. And we left the glory lay in the ditch. My God, you're the glorious church. Inside, you're full of glory. You're born of God. Hallelujah. Know you on the inside. Know what you are on the inside. Quit letting the outside oppress you. And keep that guy silent on the inside. Let the lion loose. Let the lion of the tribe of Judah loose. Let it loose. Hallelujah. You've been born of that spirit. That's what you are. Hallelujah. That's not what you're trying to be. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You're not going to get it. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. The Holy Spirit's living in communing with your spirit. Think about that. My God. Woo! God moved in and is hooked up to your spirit on the inside. Think about that. You on the inside. Man, the outside better get strapped. You better straighten out quick. See, get in charge. Most people, they want to reign and rule by some over somebody else. I want to reign and rule over me. I want to dominate this guy. I want so the devil don't run me over. Hallelujah. I get this guy under control. I might be able to help somebody. My God, do something wonderful. Let's get it under control. God has given us everything that we need to do it. And communion is about that. It's who you're tied to. You're tied with the God of heaven, the Redeemer of heaven, the one seated at the throne who set you there with him. Hallelujah. Who that same Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to tell the Father to send the Holy Ghost, and Dad did it. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost came. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, you're astounding. You're incredible. And Lord God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. You're raising up a great army of people. A people that are just full of life. Full of your life. The breath of your life breathing on their lives. Lord God, I want to thank you that inside, Lord God, there's enough, Lord God, of that great Holy Spirit, Lord God, to quicken the mortal bodies. Lord God, Lord, that these bodies have to submit in the name of Jesus, that these bodies must yield to the Word of God, that these bodies will obey in the name of Jesus. Bodies, we're not going to permit sickness and disease. We're not going to allow it. Refuse to allow it in the name of Jesus. Refuse sickness and disease in your body in the name of Jesus. Refuse malfunctions in the body in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus took your infirmities and he bore your sicknesses. Hallelujah. Just as much as he took your sin. Hallelujah. He just as much took your sicknesses, your infirmities, the things that have been working against you in your body. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life right now to your mortal body. Your mortal body responding. My mortal body is responding to the life of God in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say that. My mortal body is aligning up with the Spirit of God, the life of God that's in me. Body, you're healed. Get in line. I'm well. I'm whole. From the top of my head, the soles of my feet. Body, I refuse to listen to your lies. Body, you will obey the Word of God. Because the Word says, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Then I am healed. If I was, I am. Body, you got to obey it. You have no choice. I give you no choice. My inner man, the real me, is stronger than you. And you will obey my authority. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You need to learn to do that, to speak to your body. Not just here with me doing something. You need to learn to talk to you. I talk to my body. I tell my body what it's going to have to do. And many times I have to do it often. Because often it doesn't always want to do. It doesn't always want to obey. But I remind it what it must do. I remind it who's in charge. My body's not in charge. It's the house I live in. Just like this building. Will we sit here and wait till the roof to fall in on our heads? Well, no. And so you shouldn't do it with your body. Your body wants to sit and wait till the roof falls in on your head. That's where your body's stupid. You need to tell your body, because on the inside's a real you. It's the one where the power of God, that's the one that reigns, is on the inside. Your body don't reign. Your body's dead in sin. It's stupid. But on the inside, who the guy who lives in the house, man, he's a conqueror. The word said he's more than a conqueror. It said he's more than a conqueror. It'd have been nice if he just said he was a conqueror. That would have sounded good. But it says he's more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. That's what you are on the inside. That's the way God sees you. That's the mind of Christ. To talk any different is to lie about yourself and say something different than the mind of Christ. So you got to talk the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. Dear Lord. I'll tell you what, that got to be by faith. I'll tell you, because I'll tell you. Hallelujah. But it's in there. See, you can't speak against it and conform to it. You can't talk these other things. You got to treat your body in a manner of what it is, dead in sin. It's not smart. It's not some genius. You know? I mean, just think about it. I mean, some dumb guy just died on Mount Everest and climbed up there and got to go and went to the top, and somehow because of the traffic jam of all the people that want to get up there on a nice day, and he ends up dying just to get to the top of Mount Everest. Is that what you do with your life? Is that what your life, I mean your life? Because, boy, my big thing is, let's, if I can just accomplish Mount Everest, that's really going to, man, I'll tell you, that's going to give you, now, they got a family that don't have a daddy, because the knucklehead wanted to crawl a mountain that you could have cut a helicopter and flew up there. but you know, this is the way I have to do. See, people are doing all kind of extreme things with their flesh. Why? That's a sign of the flesh dominating and ruling. I do these things. Why? People see me. Ain't I something? Boy, let's look at the outside. I'll tell you, when sickness comes knocking on the door, Ed Gibson on the outside ain't no big deal. But I'll tell you what, it can keep my flesh well. That mountain don't get on me. That mountain don't come knocking on my door and get in. He went up on top of a mountain and died. What good did that do? Nothing. You see, you get in the inside. You walk by. I don't care who looks at me and sees me. I don't care. I'm not running a popularity contest. Surely you've noticed that, haven't you? People with itching ears have a tough time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to take our communion this morning. So you may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God.